The New Testament reading for today is from Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 32. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed, and spitting on him, and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them, to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified him also reviled him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And so we pray. O Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should suffer for us and be despised, so that through his shame we might be brought to glory. Grant us grace to follow him in patience and humility, to bear the cross laid upon us, and to trust wholly in his saving passion and death. Amen. It was all part of the Father's plan. So then why all the shame, the mockery, and the blood? The Father had promised the crushed head of the serpent, so why not just get to the good part? Dear Christians, the only good part in all that Mark records is Jesus himself come to set sinners free. And to be set free sinners, whether they were government officials, religious leaders, or the crowd, must have our best plans, our finest thoughts exposed for what they are. That which always leads to death. And that's why Jesus is charged with blasphemy. He didn't speak falsely of God. His holiness was a blasphemy to our sin. His perfect righteousness was intolerable to sinners who can only sin. The charge that sticks against Jesus is framed politically, a charge of sedition. Jesus claims to be a king. And in a world full of tiny kings and little lords jockeying for power, that claim must be silenced. Jerusalem was full of eager expectation. The Messiah could come at any time. Many hoped for a powerful ruler, a majestic, uncompromising ruler like the beloved Caesar Augustus. Others wanted a marketable Messiah, strong enough to depose Rome, yet gentle enough not to disrupt their sin. And there in David's royal city, David's son and David's Lord Jesus Christ didn't belong. He had come not by force, but as a lamb silent before his shearers to be bound, innocent and condemned in our place. Our Father's plan was being fulfilled. It was coming to completion. So the father of lies did his worst. And yet it's all the good part, as hard as it is for us to see. That Jesus is not merely suffering physically. He is bearing the full shame of your sin and mine. The true glory of God hidden in mockery. True kingship hidden in humility. Simon of Cyrene compelled to carry Christ's cross, not to help Jesus, but to reveal us. That we would see that Christ's cross is our cross. It is not the wood that will kill him. It is our sin, the weight of wrath and forsakenness, and only Christ can bear it. Led to the place of the skull, The second Adam goes where the wages of the first Adam's sin are paid. Christ dies, turning the place of death into the most blessed place, where death itself is undone. And at the third hour, Mark is careful to point out, the same time that sacrifices were still being offered in the temple less than half a mile away, the once-for-all sacrifice is lifted up for us. The innocent one is counted as the only guilty one, crucified between two thieves, fulfilling Isaiah's words, "He was numbered with the transgressors." So we see that the kingdom of God is revealed not apart from sinners, but in our midst. Christ, fully man yet fully God, the temple made without hands, is destroyed, and he will be raised in 3 days, as it is promised. The cross is his throne, and even in mockery, God opened the mouths of men to speak the most blessed truth. He saved others. He cannot save himself. And they were right. And so we live, breathe, and have our salvation. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience, and be made partakers of his resurrection, through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.